friends about Jesus, and people were getting saved, and I'm like, what is happening? You know, and it was the first time I was like, oh my gosh, God is real, and he can use me. Yeah. And I remember our church there was a extremely well-run church. Like, our pastor was just like administrative and just really professional. And we had three services in the morning. And so if you volunteered for one thing, you were volunteering for that three times in a row. And so he was trying to get some young blood like in on stage. And so he asked me to do the announcements one time. And so I went up there to do the announcements. And I'm not joking. When I did the announcements, my right leg was going like this. I was so nervous. Like, I was shaking on stage. Right? I was so nervous, and I did not do a good job, right? And unfortunately, the staff there, they didn't really process me through that moment. Like, hey, you know, you had a rough time, but it's okay. Work on this. We'll get you back next month. No one said anything to me, and I felt so bad. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to get on stage again. Like, can God even use me to ever public speak, right? And I remember I was having a devotion after that, and I remember I was reading the Bible. I was reading Psalms, which I love to do in the morning. And I remember I felt this presence of comfort that said, you messed up, but I still love you. It's going to be okay, and that doesn't define you, right? And I remember thinking, wow, this is amazing. The God of the universe wants to comfort me. And I had a crossroads. I had a moment that I had two options, and this is point number two. Point number two is we can either accept or reject comfort from the Holy Spirit. We can either accept or reject comfort from the Holy Spirit. And it's funny, there's certain people in my life who, if they give me a compliment, right, I'm like, okay, thanks, you know, it doesn't really mean a lot. And there's some people when they give me a compliment, I'm like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. So at ENC, we do a lot of conferences, like fall retreats and stuff. And so at conferences, there's this guy who goes to another campus ministry. Every time I see him, which is probably 2-3 times a year, he always is just so complimentary, like, Ben, you're awesome, blah, blah, blah. And honestly, it feels bad to say, it means almost nothing to me. I'm like, thanks, man, appreciate it, you know, but I don't really know him, right? But this last conference, my director in the Southeast, he complimented me on something. And I was like, wow. Thank you. Made my whole day, right? So I was rejecting one compliment, but I was accepting another compliment, right? And so that's how we can interact with God too. Sometimes God has comfort for you. That's his identity. He wants to encourage you. He wants to embolden you and empower you to do and say the things he's called you to say. But we can accept it or we can reject it, right? And it's when I found this out, this really changed my life. And this fact is not just about comfort. It's actually about every area of your life. In fact, identity is a big part of this. Are you going to accept the identity that God has for you? Are you going to reject it, right? Are you going to accept the call that God has for you? Or are you going to reject it, right? All right, let's get Matthew 5:4, please. Oh, excuse me. Let's get 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. This is amazing. God is just wanting to comfort us. And the truth is, we must first be comforted by God before we can ever comfort others, right? And what I found out when I was getting ready to marry Ashley, and Ashley, she had to leave. She's going to a baby shower in Jacksonville. But when I found marrying Ashley is that I actually had to learn to love myself first for what God made me to love myself before I could ever give love to her, right? And so a lot of us, we are looking for love. We're looking for comfort. We're looking for encouragement in all the wrong places. But first, we have to accept the comfort that Jesus and God is giving us. Does this make sense? Right. Matthew 5:4. It says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, I've learned to kiss the waves that throw me against the rock of ages. I've learned to kiss the waves that throw me against the rock of ages. And Charles Spurgeon was a great theologian, man of God in England. And what he was saying was, life throws waves at you, and you think, I'm going to die. I may not recover from this. I'll never financially recover from this, right? I'm going to get hurt. But instead, he says, I've learned to kiss that very wave. I've learned to kiss it because it throws me on the rock of ages, which is God, his comfort. So he realized, I actually like when I go through hard things. Why? Because I get picked up and slammed upon total and complete reliance on God. Is that awesome? Isaiah 51:12. I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you fear mere mortals, human beings who are but grass? Well, I, even I, am he who comforts you. This is God speaking. Who are you that you fear mere mortals, human beings who are but grass? So we can accept or reject comfort from the Holy Spirit. And some people, and I found out this is funny, some people actually don't want to be encouraged. Have you ever met someone like that? They just want, they want to pout, they want to have their own way, and they want to be in the corner by themselves. And honestly, I have a really hard time with people like that. I'm like, okay, I'm sorry your dog died. Let's get you another dog and let's move on. It's okay, you know? I'm not a big dog guy, right? You know? Yeah. I'm sorry your coworker said that about you, but God loves you. Let's move on, right? But some people don't want to be encouraged. Sometimes I don't want to be encouraged. Sometimes I give myself the right, I give myself permission to not be encouraged. I actually elevate my feelings above God's identity and what God wants to do in my life, right? And a lot of times, even this morning in worship, right? There was this whole, I felt the presence of God and he wanted me to worship, and I felt this, I can either accept this or I can reject this, right? And I had to say, whoa, I got to accept it. I actually have to worship, even if I don't want to, right? It's fun. It's funny when people reject encouragement. And I guess I'm picking on Ashley a little bit because she's not here, but you know, this will be her test if she actually goes back and listens to the sermon. But so Ashley and I, we have a great marriage. Praise God. She's a wonderful woman. But every once in a while, like once ever, we've gotten into a little argument, right? And she's so funny. I'm the kind of guy that, like, we got to talk about this like right now. Like everything is canceled until we're good. And I'm going to process it here and now, right? Right now. And Ashley, she's such a sweetheart. She just needs a little space sometimes. She just needs to like think and process like, what am I feeling? What are the emotions, right? And I feel like sometimes I'm like, no, babe, like, listen, I love you. I'm sorry. I've apologized. I've repented. I've owned my sin because most of the time I'm making the mistake. I'm sorry, but she still needs time. She's like rejecting my comfort. I'm like, baby, I'm here, right? And so I feel like the Lord, not that the Lord makes mistakes, but I feel like the Lord sometimes is like, you've had a terrible day. I knew it was going to happen. I'm here for you. Here's power. Here's love. Here's comfort. Here's encouragement. Please just accept me. Let me hug you. And we're like, no, not yet, Lord. Not yet. I need my space. I need my space. Culture tells me I'm allowed to be mad at this. Yeah. So I'm going to be mad at it. Right. Instead of getting over it. Right? Come on. Come on. All right. We got a lot of scripture today. Here's another one. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And we also thank God continually because when you received... get this, when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it. What do? They accepted it, not as human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Okay, the church in Thessalonica, they had an option. They heard the word of God, and they could either receive it and accept it, or they could have rejected it. Right? This is a great illustration. When the word of God comes, when encouragement comes, when God says, get off your phone, get in your Bible, right? You can either accept it and say, yes, Lord, or you can reject it and say, I don't feel like it. I don't want that right now. Think about this. What if the Holy Spirit has been trying to encourage you for the past number of years, but you've been rejecting him and only accepting very small doses at different times? Think about that. What if God wants you to feel uplifted and encouraged all the time, no matter what you're going through, but you've been stiff-arming, Heismaning the Holy Spirit? Think about that. That's crazy, because God does not change. If God is the comforter, that's who he is, right? God always wants to comfort us. Here's a quote for you. Many saints cannot distinguish inspiration from emotion. Actually, these two can be defined readily. Emotion always enters the man or woman from the outside, whereas inspiration originates from the Holy Spirit in a man or woman's spirit. Okay, so he's saying there's emotion. We can get emotion from the outside. I watch a movie, I feel good, I get food or whatever. But true inspiration from the Holy Spirit has to come from within. And when we feel it bubbling up from within, when we hear the word of God, when we're reading the Bible, when whatever, when we feel that little small voice tell you, I love you, it's going to be okay. I know you feel sad, but I want you to be happy. It has to come from within. And we can either squash it and say, nope, it's Monday, I'm going to have a bad day. Or we can say, okay, I'm going to submit my feelings to what you've said. Okay? Numbers 14:11. Let's go to the Old Testament. The Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me, in spite of all the signs I have performed among them? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I really feel this way. I have to look at myself in the mirror. Ben, how long are you going to refuse to believe all of the miracles that God has done? Why do you need more miracles? Why are you refusing what God has already done in your life? Right? Each one of us, if we were really honest and looked back at our whole life, God has done miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And we still refuse to believe that he can truly satisfy and comfort us. And we reject him. It's convicting. It should be convicting. And I think a lot of us, when we're dealing with the Holy Spirit and the presence of God, we almost want the Holy Spirit to be so powerful and strong that it overwhelms us. That's what we want. And I've had that a couple times, but you can't live like that because the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He partners with you, right? You have to choose. And guess what? Accepting encouragement takes a lot of discipline. Takes a lot of discipline. Like, you don't just accept encouragement one time or accept comfort one time. You have to accept encouragement and comfort every single day. You know what I'm saying? The reason I read the Bible every day or almost every day is not always because I need to learn new things about God. That's part of it. I need to learn new things. But you know the main reason I do? Because I need to be reminded who God is, who I am, and the encouragement and the comfort that is there for me, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not always a revelation. Sometimes it's a reminder. Good. A lot of times it's a reminder. We actually have to remind ourselves every day of the gospel, which is who God is, who I am without God, and now who I am with God. Mm-hmm. Good. And every day, if you do that, guess what? You'll feel encouraged and comforted. It's amazing. Number three, first we accept, then we act. First we accept, then we act. And we're gonna break this down even more. Here's a story. You've probably heard it before, but I'm going to read it word for word like a quote. And it's great, very impactful. There's a lot of lessons we can take from this, but there's one I feel like is really good for us today. A gentleman was walking through an elephant camp, and he spotted that the elephants weren't being kept in cages or held by the use of chains. All that was holding them back from escaping the camp was a small piece of rope tied to one of their legs. As the man gazed upon the elephants, he was completely confused as to why the elephants didn't use their strength to break the rope and escape the camp. They could easily have done so, but instead they didn't try to at all. Curious and wanting to know the answer, he asked a trainer nearby why the elephants were just standing there and never tried to escape. The trainer replied, "When they are very young and much smaller, we use the same size rope to tie them up. And at that age, it's enough to hold them. As they grow up, they are conditioned to believe they cannot break away. They believe the rope can still hold them, so they never try to break free." The only reason that the elephants weren't breaking free and escaping from the camp was that over time, they adopted the belief that it just wasn't possible. So here's the point here. Elephants that refuse to accept they are elephants and refuse to act like elephants never ever truly feel like elephants. Elephants that never accept, "I am a one-ton mammal that could rip apart a building," they never accept that. They never act like it. Boom, rope gone. They will never truly feel like the powerful animals that God has created them to be. Christians who do not accept the encouragement of God and do not act like they are encouraged will never, ever truly feel encouraged. Think about that. Sometimes life holds us back and we're young and we learn that be discouraged in this area. You can't do that. You've got to put that parameter on yourself, and the devil will lie to us and he'll hold us back and he'll push us down. And we learn that I can't go this way. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. And then we get saved and God says all things are possible through him or her who believes in me. And we don't actually believe him. We read the Bible, but we read it through a lens of captivity, and we don't realize that we can do anything that God has called us to do, right? And that doesn't mean build your own kingdom and do what you want. It means do what God wants you to do. But we have to say, you know what? There is encouragement. I am encouraged, and I am going to act like it. You know, before you public speak, if you've taken a public speaking class, one of the things they tell you to do is before you get on stage, and you may see me do this, is puff your chest up, stretch back, take up a lot of room, and endorphins will start to flow, and you will feel more confident just by an action. But what if I don't feel confident? Act like you're confident, and wait a second, now you feel confident. A lot of life is like that. You know, it's so funny. Fake it till you make it has a lot of validity to it. Honestly, seriously. You know what I'm saying? Or even like the whole, you know, look good, play good. There's truth to that. You know, when I used to play basketball in high school, like, listen, when I got the shoes just right and the socks just right, and when in middle school I used to wear a headband, and I had the logo right on the right eye, and I even wore a sleeve. Oh my gosh, it was, anyway. But when I felt good, I played good, right? And so sometimes as Christians, we don't act encouraged. We don't stand on the word of God. We stand on our feelings and emotions. The Holy Spirit's been trying to comfort us all gosh darn day, and we've rejected him all day, right? And then we wonder why we just roll through life discouraged, right? Does this make sense?
Yes.
There's major warfare on your life for your encouragement, right? There's another great quote. I'm not going to quote the movie. The movie is not dated very well. But there's a movie, and this man's in a lot of trouble. And someone says, "What's wrong with him? Is he sick?" And the other guy says, "No, worse. He's discouraged." He's discouraged, right? Discouragement is one of the enemy's plans to take you out of the fight. Because if you don't act like an elephant, you will never do what an elephant does. If you don't act like you're encouraged, you'll never feel encouragement, and you'll never encourage anyone else. And God wants us to be encouraged first,
yes,
so we can encourage others, mm-hmm, right? It's amazing when I have a bad day, which I have bad days. When I have a bad day and I don't feel good about myself, let's say I have a routine I do every morning, and one of those is getting on the scale. You know, I weigh myself. Unless I've eaten really bad the previous day, then I give myself like a recovery day, you know, like, you know. It's a fluctuation day, seriously. You know, if I ate ice cream right before, like last night, I won't weigh myself the next day, but I do that, and sometimes, it's crazy, if the scale goes up or I look and I see something I don't like, it's amazing how discouraged I can get. And then I'm kind of cranky with Ashley and cranky, and I see everything is wrong, and then, you know, I see the stuff about Ukraine and Russia, I'm like, oh my gosh, the world's going to end, and all this stuff, and then gas is $85 a gallon, like, what the heck, you know? And honestly, it's all because I stepped on a scale and I got discouraged. But then there's other days where I step on the scale and I've lost a couple pounds, and I'm like, oh, there's almost an ab there. That's almost an ab. I'll count it, right? You know, there's some separation there. And then I see the gas price and I say, you know what? God's going to come through today, right? Money's just going to come in today. Right, Ashley, you're beautiful, you're wonderful, I love you, I'm so glad to be married to you, right? It's amazing, when I'm encouraged, I encourage everyone around me. And I know the guys at ENC already know this, but whenever I encourage y'all, it's because I'm feeling really good, right? And so I'm working on being consistently encouraged. I just want to be an elephant and act like an elephant every day. That's my goal. 1 Timothy 4:10. That is why we labor and strive. Wait a second. Labor and strive. I don't like that. Because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially on those who believe. So we see here that when you believe in God and hope in God, there is now a labor and a striving we do. What is this saying? We first accept it, then we act like it, right? We work towards it, right? If you're at work, can your boss or supervisor or manager tell that you're encouraged about your work? Yes. Can they tell? Mm-hmm. Can they tell you're encouraging other employees? Mm-hmm. Right? Is what, if you really believe the Bible and you're really saved and you believe God and you're believing the Word of God right here, can people see that in your life? Are you acting like it? Mm. We accept it and then we act like it. Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Okay, that's the first part. So I accept it. I believe. I'm hoping in the Lord. Praise God. You know, He loves me. I actually got a devotion for the first time in 6 months. Everything's going to be okay, right? But then they have to do something. They soar on wings like eagles. They run and will not grow weary. They walk and will not be faint. There's many times that I want to sit on the couch and not grow weary, let alone run and not go weary. What's the Bible saying? Hope in the Lord first, accept it. Now act like it, believe it, do something about it, right? Encourage yourself and then encourage somebody else. Let's go take over the world for Jesus, right? And guess what? You're competitive. My competitive advantage in the world is that I can truly be encouraged and I can encourage others, even if they hate me, even if they don't like me. There's a great, great story about George Washington. George Washington, our first president, he was in the army. He was a colonel in the colonies when they were fighting the French in Indian War. And he had this rival colonel in the army that hated him, right? And he would try to compete with him and just outshine him. And they asked this other colonel, what do you think of George Washington? He's like, well, he doesn't speak enough. He's this. He's terrible. He's bad. And then the same guy went to George Washington and said, hey, this colonel said this about you. He said, you're not this, you're not that, you're bad, whatever. And he said, George Washington, what do you say about that? What do you think about this guy? And George Washington, he said, well, I think the other guy's really excellent. He's a great colonel. He's awesome. I really appreciate his work ethic. I think it's great that the United States Army has him. And like, but don't you know what he said about you? And George Washington said, listen, it doesn't matter what he thinks about me. This is what I think about him. That's our competitive advantage, guys. It doesn't matter what people think about me. Good. We can encourage others.
Yes.
But we can only do that when we're encouraged. Mm. Right? I remember when, a lot of stories this morning. I remember when I got done playing football, an extremely competitive environment, right? I got done playing football and now I'm in the workforce. And I took that same competitive edge into work, which was not great all the time. So in football, what we would do is like this, there'd be a classroom, 25 offensive linemen would sit there, the coach would sit at the front and we go through every play of practice of every game. And if you made a mistake, it was rewind. Ben, what are you thinking? Like, you know, do you have a learning disability? What's wrong with you? Like, we went over that play. Like, what, are you even a man? Like, dude, what do you need to quit. I'm going to tell your parents that your scholarship's done. Like, and I'm being PG here, okay? It was in your face. And so we were just used to accountability. Just, all right, grill me. Tell me what I did wrong, right? Okay, let's get better. Let's fix it, right? And so when I went to work, I realized that work was not like that. When people made mistakes, they hid them and they slid through their emails and they did, as per my last email and blah, 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 and you didn't read my memo and blah, 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 and it would just throw everyone else under the bus and it was terrible. I'm like, no one is willing to be accountable, right? And I remember that a lot of people did not like me because I came for the neck every day. Like, people be messing up. I'd be like, you did this wrong. This is our policy. You did this. Boom. And people were so offended at me. And now I know why, right? But anyway, there came a point, I'm like, Ben, you're such a knucklehead. You just need to be really well-liked and stop being such a jerk. And so what I did to turn the culture, because everyone like really hated me in a way. So I had to turn the culture around. And I said, you know what? Everybody hates me, but it's okay. I'm going to start loving on everyone, regardless of what they think about me, because if I really like them, it's going to be really hard for them not to like me. So I would go to people, different department heads, laugh at their jokes, talk about them, ask what weekend was, and just like them. Just learn about them, like them. And it was amazing. The whole culture of the office changed, and everyone started trusting me. And then I got 3 promotions in like 6 months. And I went from like a base level job to a regional director with 100 employees. It's because I, wow. Y'all are crazy. Yeah, but I used this principle as I encouraged myself and I said, I don't care what y'all think. I like you, right? I don't care about your attitude. I like you. You're awesome. Let's talk, right? And so I encouraged people. And so it works. You can take that for free. So what were our 3 points? Our 3 points were the Holy Spirit is our comforter. We can accept or reject comfort from the Holy Spirit. And 3, first we accept and then we act. Good. Final question for y'all. Do you want to be comforted or do you want relationship with the comforter? Do you just want to be comforted? Have money in the bank, gas prices go down, get a promotion, your kids start loving Jesus more, your wife loves you more. Do you just want to be comforted? Do you just want to feel good? Or do you really want relationship with the comforter? Good. And that's kind of the pinnacle of this message. Is a lot of these things are kind of just byproducts, right? Comfort really comes from relationship with the comforter. And maybe, I know this is for me a lot of the times, I've been trying to comfort myself. And in the process, I've been rejecting the comforter. I've been using things. I've been using Netflix or food or even working out or even working really hard or other relationships. I've been using that. In the process, I've been rejecting the ultimate source of comfort, which is Jesus, which is the Holy Spirit, right? And so today, I want to leave us with this, is that we need to relook at kind of the way we look at comfort. We need to see it not as, oh, yeah, I need to be comforted, but I need Jesus. I need to first know his identity as my comforter. I then need to not reject him, but accept him. And then I need to not just believe it, but act like it. Mm-hmm. All right? So we're going to pray, and then our prayer team is going to come up. But if you have any prayer needs, please come up. But if not, have a great day. Be encouraged, and do not reject the comforter. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. I pray that you would just hit our hearts, Father. And that we would honestly stop rejecting you. Lord, even I repent, Father, for at times I accept your comfort and your identity as the comforter, but a lot of times, Father, I reject you, and I use other things to comfort me instead of you. So, Father, I need to be encouraged. So I pray that you would encourage me, that you would encourage all of us, and that you would help us be a church that encourages ourselves in the Lord, but also encourages others. Father, thank you that you gave us this sermon series for just a time as this, that we can be a people that are happy, joyful, encouraged in who you are, regardless of the circumstances. in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you if there's anyone here that needs to get right with you, Father, you're just tugging on their heart. I pray that you would lead them to one of our prayer group leaders, our prayer leaders in the front, and that they would get right with you in the name of Jesus. Lord, please bless everybody here. Help them have a great week. Help them connect with you in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. God bless you. Be encouraged.